Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The international aid community is anticipating a major influx of refugees ahead of possible U.S. airstrikes against Syria. The United Nations warns that this could be the worst refugee crisis since the Rwandan genocide in 1994. The latest report estimates that 2 million Syrians have already fled the country. Boston-based Oxfam America has responded to crises like this before, and the organization is working this week in Jordan and Lebanon. Oxfam America President Raymond Offenheiser joined us on the line from Beirut in Lebanon this morning, and he described some of the experiences that he's heard from refugees fleeing Syria.
We've talked to lots of people who have all sorts of, you know, stories about leaving their homes and having, you know, their villages or even their individual houses completely destroyed, or a couple crossing the border. Literally a wife and husband with four children, and the husband is shot. All sorts of, you know, horrific stories of people, you know, making their way to the borders and getting out. There are some large refugee camps, but by and large, of the 2 million refugees that are outside the country, the large majority of them are living in circumstances that are quite unique, in the sense that they've moved from an urban environment to another urban environment, or are living in camps. I mean, encampments, an improvised shelter in various places around both of those countries.
And what are they saying? What are many of the folks? What are you hearing about what's going on in Syria?
I think the bigger story is what's going on inside Syria. We know about the 2 million refugees that are outside, and we know more or less where they are, and we're trying to reach them. But I think it's important to underline there are 6 to 7 million internally displaced population inside Syria. Only 5% of the population is living in what you might consider decent shelter, you know, with adequate supplies of water and the necessities of life. Many people, the other 95%, are living in improvised shelters and in destroyed buildings and in other kinds of, you know, temporary arrangements. But I think the real thing we're hearing from the refugees themselves is a desire to get back home, a desire to see a political solution to the conflict, and to get on with their lives.
So are they closely following what's happening and possible U.S. intervention? And what is there sort of a main feeling about that possibility, aside from anxiety?
I think, you know, there are some people who, you know, think of this as, you know, a perhaps larger than a surgical strike and perhaps the beginning of a larger action that will, you know, bring some quick solution to the crisis, without understanding what the president is actually proposing. Others are simply concerned about, you know, the fact that their country is facing potential for utter destruction through this war, and really wonder whether this might even exacerbate that. I think there's a widespread, you know, view through the region, though, that at the end of the day, this is going to require a political solution, and that there needs to be a coming together of the international community. And I think in our part, we're concerned that, you know, the strike will actually delay the move toward a, you know, political solution. It will challenge, I think, trust among international leaders that will have to be rebuilt. It offers the potential of increasing civilian casualties, and I think will only further the suffering that the Syrian population and refugees are currently undergoing.
So what's an alternative, then, to try to resolve the conflict in Syria?
Well, I think the real issue is can we get the various parties together, and this, you know, to talk over the table, to talk about what needs to happen, and will the various parties be willing to make certain kinds of compromises in order to be able to initiate those talks? There's been a conversation going on for some time about meetings in Geneva to get those talks going, and they've been postponed and postponed and postponed, and I think it's time really to get them on track in the first instance. And it's going to require that the United States engage in serious dialogue with the Russians and with the Iranians and with the Arab states in order really to move this forward.
So compared to other places that you've been around the globe when you've done this work before, how would you compare what's happening there?
Well, first of all, in terms of scale, I think this is, probably the biggest emergency we've seen since Rwanda in terms of sheer numbers. I mean, we're talking again about the 2 million refugees outside the country, and we're talking about the other 6 to 7 internally displaced inside Syria. And just to give you some comparisons, Jordan's a country of roughly 6 million people. Massachusetts is a state with 6 million people. Imagine if in Massachusetts we had 1.5 million people coming across our border, and we had to absorb that population into our educational system and into our health system, what that would do to our budget, you know, our state budget and the services in our state. And I think what's been really quite extraordinary is that is both on the national level and also on an individual level, the generosity we've seen from the Lebanese people and from the Jordanian people who have taken these folks in, and then the national budget's basically assuming the responsibility for providing basic education, basic health services to these refugees. So we've got to get these people back home. We've got to. It's not only important for Syrian refugees, but it's also important for regional stability.
Okay. Oxfam America President Ray Offenheiser, thanks very much for being with us this morning, and good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.